Initial impact of classifying Haitian gangs as international terrorist groups. About a week ago, I published an analysis examining the potential implications of the U.S. decision to classify Haitian gangs, Vive Ensemble and Grand Grief, as international terrorist organizations. I must acknowledge that the reception was far from what I expected. The reaction was hostile and at times, frankly, repulsive. On social media platforms, I was unfairly accused of supporting these Haitian criminal organizations that spread sorrow among an exhausted population seeking security. The majority of people who reacted hadn't even taken the time to examine the article's content, which is understandable. We live in a digital age where context is no longer necessary to form an opinion, where thorough reading of a text is no longer a prerequisite for offering expert opinions. Although my article was based on factual data, academic studies, and rigorous scientific observations, I admit I was tempted to withdraw my publication until I discovered new elements and reactions that only strengthened my initial position. This week, several Haitian compatriots living in the United States contacted me to share their distressing experiences. Many candidates applying for potentially transformative economic positions have seen their applications rejected due to this new policy regarding Haitian gangs. Elise Pseudonym, a New York resident for 15 years, was applying to TTM Technologies, Inc. After brilliantly passing the main selection stages, she reached the usually routine phase, completing a pre-employment form. She encountered a paragraph that instantly shattered any hope of securing this position. The Department of Defense has established specific restrictive guidelines for the contractor, explicitly prohibiting the recruitment of residents, citizens or non-citizens originating from certain countries. These countries are precisely identified in supplement number. One of the Export Administration regulations, published by the Bureau of International Security of the U.S. Department of Commerce, in accordance with Title 15 of the Code of Federal Regulations, Part 740, applicable to this authorized contractual facility, as detailed below. This new regulation effectively means that certain Haitian nationals are prohibited from holding strategic positions. This restriction particularly applies to areas considered critical to U.S. national security. For most readers, this information might seem trivial or insignificant. You might think that Elise simply needs to look for another job. However, for her and many other family providers, this position represented an exceptional opportunity to access a six-figure salary, finally enabling them to purchase a home and ensure a comfortable life for their loved ones. In its official communication to Elise, TTM Technology states, "As a U.S. government supplier, TTM Technologies, Incus delivers products and services essential to the national security of the United States. Consequently, the contractor must imperatively implement certain security measures before and after access to classified information. These provisions, taken in the interest of national security, comply with Executive Order 12,829 regarding the National Industrial Security Program, Executive Order 10,865 concerning the protection of classified information in industry, as well as the Code of Federal Regulations. Title 32, Part 117, National Industrial Security Program. I am not alone in worrying about the repercussions of the U.S. decision to classify Vive Ensemble and Grand Grief as international terrorist organizations. A recent publication by the Geneva-based Global Initiative Organization warns about the risks that this classification could worsen the humanitarian crisis and strengthen the gang's grip. The organization reports that during the first quarter of 2025, more than 1,617 people lost their lives in Haiti, indicating an alarming escalation of violence. criminal organizations now exert control over significant portions of the country, particularly in the Artibonite and Central Plateau regions. The number of displaced persons exceeds 1 million, and the majority of the population now requires humanitarian assistance, representing a 9% increase compared to 2024. Global Initiative emphasizes that implementing these sanctions risks further deteriorating the humanitarian situation. The primary concern revolves around how these designations might impact the ability of humanitarian organizations, both Haitian and international, to continue their assistance operations in gang-controlled territories, the organization explains. In these controlled zones, negotiations with gang leaders often represent the only means of reaching vulnerable populations. However, under the new sanctions regime, these negotiations could be interpreted as providing material support to a terrorist entity, exposing humanitarian organizations to significant legal and reputational risks. Global Initiative cautions that suspending aid could paradoxically strengthen the gang's control. Increased isolation of populations under criminal leaders' control would only reinforce their position of power. Faced with diminishing resources, gangs might intensify their extortion practices and expand their territorial control. Although general humanitarian exemptions were issued by OFAC in December 2022, aimed at facilitating continued aid in sanctioned context, their effective implementation in Haiti remains uncertain. The applicability of these exemptions within the framework of the new designations remains unclear, notes the organization, highlighting the lack of coordination between the U.S. administration, Haitian authorities, and international actors. Moreover, there is growing concern about potential disengagement of international financial institutions from the region. Operators like Western Union might restrict or suspend their operations, which would significantly impede fund transfers, diaspora remittances, and official financial circuits. This situation would force humanitarian organizations to turn to less reliable informal channels, increasing the risk of criminal network infiltration into the humanitarian aid system. Such a restrictive operational environment creates a gap that criminal organizations can easily exploit, emphasizes Global Initiative. In this configuration, gangs would strengthen their dominant position, profiting both from the population's distress and the void left by official structures. According to the organization, Haiti thus risks becoming a prime example of the counterproductive effects of poorly adapted anti-terrorist sanctions, where the criminalization of humanitarian dialogue ultimately harms vulnerable populations rather than their oppressors. The challenge is therefore twofold: ensuring clear and effective implementation of humanitarian exemptions and avoiding a security approach disconnected from the local context. Without these measures, the international community risks witnessing the permanent establishment of a criminal governance system with devastating consequences for millions of Haitians. It is evident that combating crime in Haiti would inevitably lead to significant collateral damage. The major risk is that gangs would continue their criminal activities while these damages persist. This situation would create a vicious cycle where vulnerable families in Haiti remain victims of gang violence, while Haitians abroad face various forms of discrimination. Elise's case is just one example among many. Numerous Haitians, both within the country and abroad, have already suffered the consequences of this decision, which paradoxically was meant to improve their living conditions.